time right now is 8:30. Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice here on Newstalk 1330, FM 106.3, streaming live online at Newstalk1330.com this morning. We are on the Newstalk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. My name is Colin Worthington. Thanks for checking us out. Early voting for November 5th general election began this week, began on Tuesday. I understand statewide numbers were pretty high. You can vote in Carroll County this week through Saturday, and next week, Monday through Friday and Saturday, but then the final week of advanced voting, you can also vote in Villarica, but won't have Saturday early voting in Villarica or that final Saturday before the general election, which is Tuesday, November the 5th. Now, among the challenged races on ballots locally, District 71, State House Rep, the seat currently held by James Allen Collins of Villarica. Collins had announced in February of this year that he will not seek re-election after 8 years of service. Following the primary elections earlier this year, we are down to a single Republican and a single Democrat. That's how it works. Republican Judd Howard and Democrat Quasi Hudson. Our guest this morning is Judd Howard. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Appreciate you coming in to talk about your campaign and what you see maybe as Georgia's needs for the 2025 legislative session. Go ahead and start us off. Give me a little bit of intro about who is Judd Howard and why did it come to be that you wanted to be our representative.
Sure. Grew up in the community, was born and raised in Sand Hill area, went to Whitesburg, went to Central High School and went on to University of West Georgia, and then worked down in Whitesburg at a family farm, NG Turf, were in the sod business, and worked down there about 17, 18 years. And we've got my wife, Natalie, we've got two children, Wyatt is 11, Nellie is 7. And just sort of looking at them and, you know, what is this state going to look like? What's the nation going to look like when they're growing up? Gets to be somewhat challenging in my mind. So, you know, some of that and some of the issues that we face in running our small family business sort of encouraged me to get out and be more involved. And when Jay decided not to run for this seat, I had some people reach out and ask if we were interested. So we prayed about it, talked about it, and we've been working hard and look forward to finishing up here in the next couple of weeks.
Now, when people reach out to you, is that because you're having conversations at the dinner table about politics and about issues? I mean, why do they go to you?
A little bit of everything. I mean, my father, Alan Howard, Rhonda, were minister and teacher in our community for years. My in-laws, Aaron and Linda McCorder, have been involved politically. So we've done a lot of things, got to know a lot of people through that. And so politics has always been intriguing to me. Even through college, I was known to maybe argue a little bit more than I would debate some of my roommates. So I've always been passionate about issues, passionate about talking about things. And so given this opportunity, we were excited to take it on.
Judd Howard's the Republican candidate for the District 71 House seat in the state of Georgia. And it'll be whoever wins that race will replace Jay Collins beginning in 2025. Speaking of Jay, you have any comments about his 8 years that he represented? How do you feel of his performance?
I think Jay's done a fantastic job, you know, through his years of service as mayor for the Villarica area and then being our rep for the district. Jay's done a phenomenal job, chairman of public safety over the last several years. You know, he's really had a leadership role there and done some really good things to not only help our state but help our district especially.
Is being a Republican enough to win this race? You know, considering where we are, West Georgia, I mean, I guess, was it maybe 2 out of 3 voters, 66%?
It is a strong, you know, Republican district, but I think over time to really do this job well like Mr. Collins has done, you got to represent everyone, and that's what I hope to do, is go and be a voice for every person no matter how they vote. If you call me January 1st and you have an issue, then I look to go and solve that issue and help you figure out a problem. No matter if you voted for me or not, I'm still your representative and look to represent all individuals and all businesses that may have issues and concerns they need addressed.
Now, January 1st or after you're sworn in, I expect one of the issues that people are going to reach out to you about has to do with House Bill 581. Voters will decide whether they support that or not, also on the ballot when they do go vote for your race. Now, the plan would limit increases in a home's value as assessed for property tax purposes to the rate of inflation each year, unless a city or county government or local school board uses a one-time escape hatch to opt out in early 2025. And the key there is it's just a one-time. You don't really know how that's going to work. But they just have that one option. They can't see how it works and then change their mind as right. far as supporting that. I guess, how do you feel about that? I mean, are you encouraging people to support that? Because, you know, on paper, it looks great. You know, when it's on the ballot, it's you know, it looks great. All right, yeah, you're going to lower my taxes, sure.
That's right. So, you know, I'm glad to see anything that's given to the voters that they can decide. And then, you know, how that turns out on November 5th, then our local municipalities, school boards will have to make a decision on do they want to opt out of this program. And you know, there's some procedures that they can do to take that into account. It all comes down to, you know, what kind of services do we want to provide for our community? And those services cost money. So how do you get that revenue to support that? I do like the concept that you sort of are capping how much you can raise property taxes based on inflation, that there's not too much excess going there. But at the same time, we do have to figure out how are we going to pay for things if that's the case. So it'll be interesting to see, one, if it passes. I do believe it'll probably pass. And then how the local governments choose to participate or opt out will be a discussion.
Is that bill, is it a way to put the even more burden on local governments instead of, you know, on the state level? Because it seems inevitable if it's supported and you opt in that, I mean, they're going to have to raise the millage rate, each of those governments and the Board of Education.
Right. And I think there's some incentive to when you participate, there's an extra one cent sales tax that communities can get from the state, but you have to be participating in that. So, either way, as communities grow, as demand for services grow, you know, the tax digest grows. And how you get that, I think essentially what we need to look at is bringing good, high-paying jobs into our community. I think that's the key to growing the tax basis, not necessarily that we don't need new homes, we don't need new people, but bringing new, high-paying jobs are really what contribute to the tax base, and we can keep those property rates low for homeowners.
Bringing jobs into the community and also things for the tax base. So there was a discussion about that the battery storage facility. Did you see that down in Whitesburg? There, allegedly, there weren't going to be any jobs associated with that, but people spoke out, and maybe that was the reason the business pulled that. But they do have the opportunity to come back. But businesses like that, when you see the community is frustrated, like the Rock Quarry in northern part of Carroll County and Paulding County, I think that would be District 71 as well.
Right.
How do you communicate with constituents? How would you? I mean, would you know? I think Jay and Tim Bearden, who represent that district, I mean, they spoke out against it as well. I mean, we talk about, you know, how you can determine what jobs you want to see here.
And that's right.
Ones you don't
and that's
want.
Always a question that everyone wants to be pro-property and say someone should be able to do with what's theirs. Mm-hmm. And that's good until it's in your backyard, and sort of those attitudes change a little bit. So, you know, I just like that for every process like that, there's a transparent process, that neighbors get an opportunity to voice their concerns, that government gets a chance to look at what are the implications going to be with the rock quarry and the trucks on the road, and is this a safe situation for that environment. And I think in that situation up in the northern end of the county and across the county line, you know, everyone felt like that's probably not the best place to have a rock quarry. So I think each situation of development garners its own, you know, decision on whether it's a good place, whether the county is or the city is planned for that kind of business and that kind of area. But ultimately, it needs to be a transparent process. So everyone's engaged. Everyone's got an opportunity to learn about exactly what the plans are and be part of that process.
And I'm not suggesting that the state has anything, any say as far as whether that would be approved or not. I mean, that's on the county level. But I think that you know, as a state representative, you probably would have some input and maybe part of, you know, romancing the businesses to come here and things like that.
Well, I think helping recruit is a good thing, and then when you have your local city boards or anybody that needs our help, needs the delegation's help to sort of stand in unison with them and to help maybe stop something that the whole community is against, then we'll be proud, glad to participate like I think the delegation did in terms of the Rock Quarry.
All right, time right now is 7:39. We'll take our first break. My guest this morning, Republican Judd Howard. He's running for the District 71 seat. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to post those on the News Talk 1330 WLBV Facebook page, and I will take a look at those during our breaks. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The Customized Academic Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice, News Talk 1330, FM 106.3. Also this morning, streaming live on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. Again, if you have any questions or comments for our guest, please post those up there, and I'll look during our break and share those with our guest, who is Judd Howard. He is the Republican candidate for the District 71 State Representative seat, the seat that is currently held by Jay Collins. Collins decided not to seek re-election, so his term will, in essence, end at the end of this year, and we'll have a new representative in District 71 either way. This week we talked, you know, early voting, and there was a lot of talk about election rules in Georgia. A judge blocked a new rule that requires Georgia Election Day ballots to be counted by hand after the close of voting. The ruling came a day after the same judge ruled that county elections officials must certify election results by the deadline set in law. How do you feel about that ruling, and do you see a need for any additional changes? I mean, they made a lot of changes to election law in the state after 2020 election, so I think we've all had a opportunity to see what those are. Do you see a need for any additional changes?
You know, I'm always a supporter of anything we can do to ensure that everybody gets the right to cast their vote, the opportunity to cast their vote, and that vote is counted. The recent changes and the recent decisions by the judges, you know, about some of these changes, I still have some questions about. I don't really have a problem with counting ballots after the election, but when you've got poll workers who've been there for 14 hours, Are we really asking them to stay behind and do that? And if not, then who? And, you know, are those people trained and did what? Well, I think the question of, and the court really had the question of, were we prepared to do this, you know, this early?
Time, yeah.
And, you know, I don't think it's a bad idea, but I can see where maybe it's a little early to try to make those changes and still maintain a sense of trust in our system and trust that everything's running smoothly.
I think the initial requirement was that three individuals, you had to count them individually, separately, and then present the number and hope that they're exactly the same.
That's right. And anything we can do to verify and that make sure that everyone gets an opportunity to vote and everyone's voted and that vote is counted, I think is great. We just need a plan for that, make sure we're staffed for that, and it's done in a fair manner.
You have a website advertising your campaign. One of the things says you aim to bolster the agriculture industry by strengthening the rights of farmers and landowners, enhancing workforce development, and ensuring sustainable growth. What rights of farmers and landowners need strengthened at this point?
Sure. So agriculture being our number one industry in the state, I think it's very important to our state's economy that we keep that in mind. We've got a lot of other major industries that are coming to our state, and that's great for Georgia to be the number one place to live and work and raise a family. But ag is the backbone of our state, and recently with the hurricane in South Georgia, a lot of our ag producers and people were devastated. And having the infrastructure, having the support that they need in place to be able to do that. One of the things you talked earlier about growth is we've got a lot of ag land that is being converted into solar farms. And then you're back to that question of, you know, property rights and being able to do with what you would like. But is that still agriculture? Should there be a zoning process in place to take that farmland and turn it into solar farms? And that's just creating a cause and a raise, you know, rise for prices for agricultural producers in the South. But I think continuing to protect farmers' rights and the history of our state's always had of being a big ag state is a good thing.
Yeah, Judd Howard, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program, Republican candidate for the District 71 State House seat. Georgia launched a program within Medicaid in July of 2023 requiring Medicaid participants to document that they're working, studying, or doing other qualifying activities for 80 hours a month in exchange for health coverage. That's, I believe, the only state that does require that. Comment on that. I mean, on that law, it seems like the numbers are lower, and I don't know if that's what the intent was when requiring that. But yeah, how do you feel about that in place? And then Medicaid expansion. Do you think Georgia has a lot of work to do there?
Sure. Well, first, as a Christian, as a you know, citizen of our country, our state, I think we've got great history in taking care and a responsibility to take care of those people who are down on their luck or need help. I believe that's what these systems are in place for, and I support that. I'm not against expansion of Medicaid as long as we find a system that works and that we can pay for. But I am in support that if you're an able-bodied person and you can work, then you should be working if you're qualified for these programs.
Mm-hmm. You have you seen any legislation? You know, I think a lot of legislation that's put out at this point is kind of just to get the attention, you know, of people. I mean, just to maybe self-promotion. Sorry, guys, but the majority of those are, because I think they have to be refiled anyway. But have you seen any legislation out there that you would be interested in supporting? Has anything been dropped at this point?
In general, a lot of discussion about things that are going to affect potential tort reform, you know, litigation, yeah. Lawsuits, things of that nature. So I think that's definitely something that is going to be a top issue this year. I think we're already hearing from the governor that a lot of concern about the Department of Corrections and where we're going with the situation with our state prisons and funding for those. And that's going to be a top priority and a lot of issues there. So just looking forward to getting there and being a part of it.
As far as tort reform, I mean, you know, where is the line? Where do you think the line is where it's, you know, where you know, those lawsuits are too much? I mean, you got to protect a person's right to, you know, if they feel like they were wronged.
Absolutely. So everybody's got a constitutional right to access to the courts, right? So we need to protect someone's right to be able to use the courts and protect themselves in situations where they may be injured in an accident or any of those situations. I think, like a lot of things, we have balance, and we have maybe trial lawyers on one side, and we got insurance companies on the other side, and maybe we're a little out of balance right now, and we need to improve that. And ways in which I can see that is some situations to where you have third-party funding of some of these litigation. And not that that's not appropriate. I just think that being transparent about that, maybe juries being aware that there's money even from China coming in right now to fund some third-party litigation. And, you know, premise liability, where we have situations to where small business owners and even major companies like CVS and Kroger have seen cases to where 2-3 a.m. in the night, someone's injured on their property, and in many situations where a crime was taking place, a drug deal going bad, someone's shot, and then that business owner is sued for whatever reason because a light was out in the parking lot. So, you know, I think any parent right now that is trying to buy insurance for their children. Any business owner who's got insurance on their business and their umbrella policy, general auto liability, you're seeing double-digit increases year after year after year. And that's in part because a lot of the settlements that have came and the jury awards that have came out of our court systems, mm-hmm. and a lot of that's came out of insurance companies just choosing not to do business in Georgia and leaving. So the options are less. So our prices are going up. So I think it's important that we address that issue and look at what are some things that we can do to balance these two sides. But at the same time, like you said, I think it's critical to maintain access to the courts, and that's a constitutional right.
Time right now is 8:50. Our guest is Judd Howard, one of two candidates, the remaining two candidates for the District 71 State House seat. What are the boundaries of District 71?
Generally, it's Carrollton, Villarica, Temple. So it follows up 113 and then over to the river all the way to Temple from Carrollton, comes over the northern line to Villarica and comes back down the county line and cuts back over around Oak Mountain back over towards downtown Carrollton.
But it's not in Douglas County at all?
No, it's one of the few districts in this area that's just one county.
Okay. All right. Again, Judd Howard, our guest this morning. Please, if you have any questions or comments, post those to the Newstalk 1330 WLBB Facebook page during this final break, and I will share them with our guest when we return. Time right now is 8:51. We'll come back with about 8 minutes on this morning's program. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice here on Newstalk 1330 FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest is Judd Howard. He is one of two candidates, the remaining two candidates for the District 71 State House seat. Election Day is November the 5th. Early voting is going on this week, even Saturday, next week, including Saturday. And that'll be at the Carroll County Elections Office, the temporary office up here on Noonan Road. And then the final week, the Powell Park office in Villarica will be open as well, but you can't vote on that final Saturday before Election Day, which is Tuesday, November the 5th. On November the 5th, you will vote at your regular polling place. You will not vote at the elections office, temporary elections office. You'll go to your primary polling place. Again, that is November the 5th. I've got some comments here on the Facebook page. Thank you for coming on, Mr. Howard. This is from Jeannie Legal Dollar. She says, it's good to hear from everyone. Said she's been a poll worker. I guess this is going back to our first question where we talked about the elections changes to law. She says she's been a poll worker and it is not necessary, I'm assuming, to hand count those ballots. It feels like an effort to bring another place challenge already accurate results. The decisions were partisan backed. I mean, any comment on that?
Again, I think my number one focus on any changes to our election laws would be to ensure that we have an equal and fair election and everyone gets an opportunity to vote and that person's vote is counted. I have great trust in our local county board of elections. I think they do a fantastic job. I think some of the concerns were more around the metro Atlanta, Fulton County in particular. Mm-hmm. And, they've had some issues in past elections, and maybe some of those concerns are being addressed. So
same commenter. What about individuals? We're talking about Medicaid, I guess. What about individuals with disabilities? Children benefit most from Medicaid. Most of our medically fragile pediatric patients were dropped from Medicaid without warning, and they suffered.
Well, I think looking at continuing to expand, you know, pathways, what the governor's plan is right now is on the table. Again, like I said, I would support Medicaid expansion. I just think that we need.
But you commenting on the requirement to work, maybe? I mean, if you have a disability or a child. Or go to school is one of the
options,
I think, right?
A caregiver is you know, that we could look at a caregiver and say, is that a full-time job? And I think, you know, if you've got someone at home that has a disability and you're providing care for them, then I think you fit that requirement that you're fitting.
All right, time right now is 8:54. Judd Howard, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program. According to the AJC, number of abortions performed in Georgia had continued to drop since the state's abortion law took effect in 2022, and they reference state records in making that statement. Of those, about one-half of 1% of the nearly 70,000 abortions that have been performed in Georgia since August 2022 were done under one of the exceptions outlined in state law. Georgia law bans most abortions once a doctor can detect fetal cardiac activity, which experts have said is often about 6 weeks into a pregnancy. Yeah, the court's gone back and forth on upholding Georgia's law, and then right now I think it's back to the 6 week period, but that could change too. There's in the next month or so. Now, twice on this program during an interview with West Georgia Right to Life, I assume you want their support. I mean, I assume that's somebody that carries a lot of weight to have that support in this community. They stated that a woman's body does not, on the program, it was stated that a woman's body does not belong to her. Do you agree with that statement?
No, I don't agree with that statement. I think that each individual is, an owner of their body. I believe I'm pro-life, and I believe at the point that we can detect a heartbeat that there is another life and another body. And I am in support of, banning abortions past that 6 week. I do support in instances of rape and incest that, those are situations to where I think anyone can understand that, that, and including where, the health of the overall health and life health of the mother is at question, that those are decisions that that the individuals and the family and the doctor get to make.
They're big supporters of the Personhood Amendment, Right to Life, West Georgia Right to Life. How about your feelings on that? Personhood Amendment, it basically says, I want to make sure that I quote it right. It would recognize the paramount right to life of all human beings as persons at any stage of development, from fertilization to natural death. I mean, I believe you commented on that a little bit, where you know, there should be, in the cases of rape and incest. Have you been approached to consider that, supporting that if you were a legislator?
Well, I think, we've talked about these issues for decades, and I was glad to see that this issue came back to the states with Roe versus Wade being overturned and it come back to the states to be able to voters get to decide on these issues. That's the way it should be. I think in Georgia right now, where we're at with a 6 week abortion ban, I support that. And I support that if there were situations of rape and incest, that I could support that as well.
All right, we've got about a minute and a half. I want to give you a good solid minute where, you bump into somebody at the grocery store, you're going house to house and things. You got 1 minute to tell them why should they vote for you in this upcoming election.
Sure. So, again, I start with this by looking at my children and what kind of state, what kind of nation are we going to, leave our children and our next generation. And I just want to make sure that I'm part of that solution, part of helping. I don't know that we need a lot of changes, but we got a lot of bad ideas sometimes that we need to stop. So whether we're creating good, smart bills or stopping bills that don't make sense, I want to go and support this district and support everyone to make sure that we've got a great community to continue to live in, a great state and a great nation.
All right, Republican candidate for District 71, Judd Howard, thank you, sir, for coming out this morning. And we have Democrat Quasi Hudson. I believe he's coming on the program next week. It might be next Friday when he's a guest, but he is coming up. So anybody interested to hear what the Democrat candidate has to say, hope you tune in for that program next Friday, not this coming Friday. This coming Friday, I believe we have the Democrat challenger to David Huddleston's seat. So you'll want to tune in for that program as well. All right, that is our Community Voice program for this Wednesday. As always, brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy. Time right now is 9 o'clock. Stay tuned for national news, followed by Glenn Beck here on News Talk 1330. FM 106.3.